Well, good morning. I know we're still walking around, talking, hanging out, getting refills on coffee. Coffee is delicious. If you didn't get one, make sure you get the Lighthouse coffee. I think this week we're brewing Kenya, Beacon Kenya, or yeah. So it's delicious. We are coffee enthusiasts. If you enjoy coffee, you'll fit right in. And if you don't, you'll be delivered eventually. So well, my name is Matt. I'm thrilled that you're here today. You're celebrating with us. I just want to start off by, has anyone ever seen this puzzle before? This was, I think it was like the winner of 2012 hardest puzzle available on the market. This is ridiculous. This is the worst puzzle, in my opinion, you could possibly do. My wife says it's the best because she loves puzzles, and it's supposed to take you days. This took my wife 5 hours. That is ridiculous. As nerdy as I am in Star Wars, you are nerdy in puzzles. I had this sitting in our closet, and I just recently came across it again. It's our family closet, you know, where like the kids run to and like, let's play this game or this game. And it was just kind of like in the back collecting dust, and I saw it and I was like, what better example of life than this puzzle? Right? Like if you can't, I don't know if you can see it, but the puzzle actually, half the pieces are square and half are round. Whoever designed this is menacing. The entire puzzle is just one color. Here, I'll pull out a couple pieces. It's all just slate gray. There's no gradient, there's no nothing. It's just, you can't, that's it. And I was really thinking about this puzzle of as life. It's like we might not understand how we fit in, and we might feel like, oh, there's round pieces, there's square pieces, and we can't fit together because we're different. And we might not be able to understand the fullness of the picture, but life is just like this puzzle that the creator, the owner, the builder, fully comprehended the finished idea behind the puzzle before he even began. Right? And it's square pieces, round pieces, but in the end, they all fit together to make this aggravating puzzle. Such is life. We might not understand how we fit together, but we do. Might not understand the purpose behind why things happen, but God understands. And I think that brings hope. I think that there's a certain hope that comes with that. My goal today is simply to help us grasp that hope, that purpose, and Easter, with all rolled together in a message. We're in a series called Armed and Dangerous, which might not make sense to you if this is your first Sunday. But we're in a series to understand that God has equipped us for everything that life throws at us. That's really it. And with that, I wanted to keep in the theme, that theme along with the Easter theme. And I had a movie that popped up, and I can explain Easter in this movie. Has anyone ever seen the movie The Sword in the Stone? Have you ever heard of it or like thought of it? The whole premise is this. There's a kid who's a squire who really doesn't belong or fit in to the grand scheme of the kingdom. And there is a stone and a giant sword stuck in the stone. And no one has pulled it out. And at one point during the movie, the kid walks up and he's trying to find a sword for someone else because he's squiring. And he's just like, oh, I'll get this one. And he pulls it out. And at that moment, he gets everything that comes with the sword, the heir to the kingdom. He gets the inheritance. He gets the rights. He gets the keys to that kingdom because he wields the sword that was locked in the stone. And I thought, what better way to explain Easter than this movie in a creative way? I love being creative in illustrations and all that. I mean, think about it. God, Jesus, died on the cross, and then got locked in a rock. And once he was set free, the inheritance and the heir and the kingdom came with it. It kind of parallels a little bit, right? So that's the entirety of this message, is just the sword and the stone. That's it, explaining Easter in that way. So number one in your bulletins, you have some blanks in there, fill them out, keep along. If you're taking notes, I encourage you. I heard once, note takers are history makers. I don't know how accurate it is, but it's really fun to say in here. Number one is the sword. The sword. The sword. The sword is, as I said, it's locked in the stone. If you go to Disneyland, you could probably see a fairly accurate rendition of it. And it's kind of neat because every once in a while, if you walk up, they have a button that triggers and one kid like pulls it out and then a beam of light shines on. It's really neat to watch if you've ever seen it. But if you ask a cast member, they know the secret time. So that's an edge. We're Disneyland enthusiasts. So in the movie, the book, it's an old story. You pull the sword and you get the perks that come with it, right? You get the 401k, you get the dental, the health insurance, the 6 paid weeks of vacation. It's all the perks that come with pulling out the sword. But in reality, there is perks in the movie, right? He's no longer a peasant. He's no longer worthless in the movie. He goes from the lowest station in the kingdom to the highest, with just the choice to pull out the sword. Right? And in that one choice, that one moment, his entire life changes. He's an heir to the throne. He's adopted into the kingdom. I think what's so cool about the parallel between God and the stone and this movie, and it all comes together, I just love that imagery. The king who left the kingdom is no longer present, but he left it in his will that whoever shall pull out and accept this sword receives all that I have left for them. Man, that's neat to think about. Guaranteed, I bet some of you are going to pull out some old VHS tapes, blow them up, put it in, rewatch this movie again, or read the book. I just love that idea. So I wrote down 3 things that you receive from believing that Jesus has been freed from the rock. 3 things that the movie shows that when he pulls the sword out of the stone, it parallels with what happens when you accept Jesus into your life. 3 things, 3 perks, if you will. A, an inheritance. Inheritance. There is something that you get. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11 says, "Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance." Everyone say inheritance. Inheritance. That was a wake-up check. I was just making sure you guys are awake. Inheritance from God. For he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. Remember the puzzle? I really think that brings hope. That it's not that you're forgotten, but that he's thought of you before you even existed. He's purposed you to pull this sword out and receive what he has in store for you. There's something to be had. Inheritance. B, authority. Authority. You know, in the movie, it's so funny when you watch this little kid who's just, you know, 3 foot nothing, 110 maybe, you know, with his clothes wet. And he pulls out the sword and he runs back and he's like, "I got the sword." And you see all the other men fighting for the kingdom. All of a sudden, in awe, see the authority that he now has. You start seeing them, that can't be Excalibur. That can't be the sword. And all of a sudden they start to take the knee because he starts wielding the authority that he has. Authority. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, "But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God." I was thinking about this. My dad was just insanely busy when we were kids. He started, have you ever heard of, there's this really small company, not maybe a lot of people have heard of, it's called Intel. They make these little processor things that are in every device in existence on this earth. And he started with the company when it started, ground floor. And so he, you know, high up manager, all of the above. He was at the headquarters in Oregon. And I remember He was in meetings pretty much all day. He had to leave before we left to school, and he'd get home as we're going to bed. He was just busy. But I'll never forget, I always had a direct line of connection to my dad. If I ever picked up a phone and called his number, you know, back when the phones were like the cell phones, the nice pocket phones, the gray ones with the huge antenna, if I ever called him, it didn't matter where he was at. He'd pick up, he's like, "Are you okay? How are you doing? What's going on?" It didn't matter. I had a direct line of authority. He'd be meeting with CEOs. He's like, "Oh, I got to take this. This is important." There's an authority that happens when you decide to say, I'm going to accept this. You all of a sudden get this authority connection with God that maybe you didn't have before. It's this authority that you can say, "God, I don't want to be alone." Well, you're not. I'm with you. You have authority. C, perks. Let's talk about the perks. I just think it's a funny word. Perks. Let's talk about the perks of accepting Jesus. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 23. But what happens when we live God's way? What happens when we accept him into our lives? He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in our heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. And if you've been searching for one of these, saying, "Man, I need peace. I'm in turmoil. I'm in frustration. I need this." There's perks to be had when you accept that sword. I'm so busy. I'm so frustrated. Well, there's perks to be had. It's calling on God, saying, "God, you promised me. You came to this earth. You wrote a Bible through 1600 years. Where is this?" You have the authority to go up to God and receive the perks. George Orwell said, "Happiness can exist only in acceptance." What a great quote. There's an acceptance to be had. There's a sword to be pulled. There's a stone holding it, waiting for you to receive what God has for you. Another quote, "The first step toward change is awareness. The second step is acceptance." Nathaniel Brendon. If you don't know what to do, how can you do it? Right? If you don't know what to do, how can you possibly do it? Have you ever seen those game shows where there's like a secret word or a secret button and everyone's running around trying to figure out what to do, what to do? You can dumb luck into it, or you can walk into it fully and not waste years trying to find what you're trying to find. All right, so we talked about the sword. Let's talk about the stone. Number two, the stone. The stone. The stone. As significant as a sword is in the sword and the stone, I think the stone, the rock, is just as significant. Really think about it. It's not that the sword was just sitting down on the ground and anyone could pick it up and then run away and do whatever. It was locked. It was sealed. It was holding that sword in. Some men came up and looked at it and said, "Nah, I can't do it. It's too much of a barrier. It's too much of an obstacle. It's too much of a thing. I can't possibly pull that out. I'm out." Have you ever seen the movie when Thor's hammer goes into the rock and people are trying to pull it and they barricade around and they're just staring at it? No Thor fans? Okay. I just nerded myself out there. Okay. It's like that. Some people will pull it out. Some people will try. And some people will just give up, because you see the rock that's holding it. See, the rock represents our obstacles, our barriers, things that want to try to prevent us from pulling out Jesus in the fullness. It's what holds us back. I want you to think about that. What's yours? What's an obstacle that's holding you back from fully pulling out the sword? Is it something that's, maybe it's just time. I don't know. Maybe it's just the busyness of life. Maybe it's just frustration. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's something that every time you get close to saying, I'm it, I'm selling out, that looks hard. I don't know about that. You know, like what is your stone? I believe as Christians, as people, we all have something. But it's the people that overcome it that receive the fullness of it. That's what it's about. So I put down three ways to overcome obstacles. Three ways to overcome the stone in front of you. Number one, opportunity. Opportunity. Thomas Edison wrote, "Opportunity is missed by most people because it is dressed in overalls and looks like work." Opportunity. Opportunity. Do you miss out because you don't allow an opportunity to happen? It's like, I'm not even going to go over there. I don't know. I don't know if I can do this. I read this story online, and I've heard it before, but I want to share this today, and I'm just going to go ahead and read it. A man was trapped in his house during a flood. He began praying to God to rescue him. He had a vision in his head of God's hand reaching down from heaven and lifting him to safety. The water started to rise in his house. His neighbor urged him to leave and offered him a ride to safety. The man yelled back, "I'm waiting for God to save me." The neighbor drove off in his pickup truck. The man continued to pray and hold on to his vision as the water began rising in his house. He had to climb to the roof, and a boat came by with some people heading for safe ground. They yelled to the man to grab a rope they were ready to throw and take him to safety. He told him that he was waiting for God to save him. They shook their heads and moved on. The man continued to pray, believing with all his heart that he would be saved by God. The floodwaters continued to rise. A helicopter flew by, and a voice came over a loudspeaker offering to lower a ladder and take him off the roof. The man waved the helicopter away, shouting back and that he was waiting for God to save him. The helicopter left. The flooding water came over the roof and caught him up and swept him away. When he reached heaven and asked God, "Why did you not save me? I believed in you with all my heart. Why did you let me drown?" God replied, "I sent you a pickup truck, a boat, and a helicopter, and you refused them all. What else could I possibly do for you in this situation?" Opportunity. A lot of times we miss opportunity because it looks like something else. I don't have time to derail in failed expectations, but I think I might for 30 seconds. Failed expectations are one of the most devastating things people can ever face. In marriages, most marriages end because of failed expectations. "I expected you to do this." That wasn't ever a thing we talked about. "Well, my mom did it." What? Failed expectations. Failed expectations can cause you to miss out on so many things. Number two, overcoming obstacles. Tools. George Herbert said, "Do not wait. The time will never be just right. Start where you stand and work with whatever tools you may have at your command, and better tools will be found as you go along." What a great quote. What a great idea. Just start. You have tools to begin. They might be bad. They might be horrible, but you can start. You can get it going, and someone else come along and say, "Hey, I have the tool for that job. Let's do this together." I don't know if you all know, our church belongs to an organization called Foursquare. It was started by a woman who was just passionate about God and passionate about seeing people know Jesus. That was it. She was like, I'm starting a church. I'm starting a movement. She raised money in the Depression. She raised $30,000. And she was talking to a contractor, and he goes, $30,000 to build a church in the heart of L.A.? That's enough to dig a hole. You know, that'd be pretty discouraging to a lot of people. You know, if a contractor said, we'll dig a hole for you for everything you've been trying to do for the last year during the Depression. And her response, I love her response. She goes, well, start digging. Dug the hole. By the time the hole was done, people, just bystanders, were like, what? And they started paying into it, started believing for it. And at the end, after a few years, she had the start of the church. And after that, it just kept growing and growing, and churches were planted around the world. The Foursquare organization is a world movement because one woman wasn't discouraged by an obstacle. Can you imagine if that how she responded differently, we literally wouldn't be in this building. Really think about that. You wouldn't be here today. This building would not exist if she said, oh, yeah, we should have $3.5 million first. Let's put it off. Right? It wouldn't have been a movement. It would have been a monument. It would have just stopped right there. Okay. Tools. Doesn't matter that you have the best starting. Just matters that you start. Better tools will come along. Number three, drive. Milton Berle said, if opportunity doesn't knock, build a door. I just love that image. If you don't care about overcoming the obstacles, you won't. You won't happenstance be like Amy Simple and just be like, I built a church. It doesn't just happen. You have to have a drive to do it. You have to have a willingness. You have to say, I'm going after it. Hell or high water, I'm going to do this. It's the difference between a Michael Jordan and a Michael Guzman. Do you know who Michael Guzman is? Oh, it's someone who didn't really practice a lot in my high school, and he didn't become famous because he had no drive behind it. There's a difference. One person had a drive, and one person didn't. A drive overcomes obstacles. The tools and opportunity will never matter if you don't have the drive to accomplish it. The drive. It's funny, every time my wife and I start some kind of project at our house, it's like, I'm super excited. I'm like, yeah, let's do it. Let's tear down this wall. You know, I'm like the energetic guy that's like, let's start painting. And we get like 4 hours into it, and it just looks like a bomb went off in the house. And I'm like, oh, man, what have we done? You know, and it's like, those moments, I need encouragement. I'm like, we can't overcome this. There's a hole in the wall. What do we, you know, it's those moments where my wife builds me back up with the drive. Sometimes drive can be lost if we're alone. And if you're missing out on drive, you need to be in a community that will encourage you. Be somewhere that's just gonna be like, you got this. It looks terrible right now, but it'll come back. It's like a bad haircut, you know? It doesn't matter. I don't know if you're laughing at my hair or your hair right now. I don't know if there's like a story, an inside joke right now. A bad haircut, you know? It's like that. It's gonna grow back. It's gonna grow back. In Jesus' name, we'll grow back. So we talked about the sword. We talked about the stone. But something else is happening in the picture in the movie. You got the sword and you got the stone. But there's a third aspect that's just as important as the rest. The choice to pull it out. See, if the movie was just about a sword in the stone and there was no choice, that would be the most boring movie ever. It'd be a still shot of a sword sitting in the stone and nothing else occurring. Weeds would just grow eventually. The grass would overcome the place. Trees would be looming. You know, Hansel and Gretel would skip by eventually, or so, I don't know what's, I'm in kids' movies right now. If you ever had kids and it's just like all you watch is kids' movie, and when they find one that you like, they watch it 500 times. It's like the biggest yes I've ever had. Yes. Story. Let it go. Thanks, Larry. Larry and I have a lot in common. We watch a lot of children's movies and know lines to movies we probably shouldn't. The choice. You have the choice to pull the sword out or let it stay. You have the choice to just kind of sit there and, hey, it's available, but there's an obstacle. You have a choice to overcome doubt, insecurities, whatever obstacles are in front of you. Mike, can you come on up? Cool. So, sticking with children's movies, because that's just where I'm at right now in life. The best way for me to possibly explain God and humanity and the bridge of Jesus is actually through Anna and Elsa from Frozen. Why are you already laughing, Larry? I thought you'd read the notes and you do. That was hilarious. It's like he knows. Let it go. You have Elsa and you have Anna. And you might not be able to see Anna very well. It's kind of low, but there's a picture of Anna. I'll hold it up in a second. Elsa's falling here. My daughter is obsessed with Frozen. It came out however many years ago. And 2 years, that's a long time for a five-year-old. Half her life has been Frozen. I'm just realizing this right now. Half her existence is based on this. Okay. You can't all ask her at once, but if you just kind of sneak in a conversation, she'll answer this. Say, do you have a Frozen dress? Her response isn't, oh yes, it's beautiful. It's, oh, which one? Because she has multiple Frozen dresses for which mood she's in while she watches Frozen. This is, side note, I'm getting so side noted right now, but one of my favorite things about living in Ventura is the garage sales out here are the best. The best. We walk by and there's people that have the princess dresses and we'll go by and they're like, there's a rack of, you know, Anna, Elsa, all the other princess dresses. I can't think of them right now. A Belle and all that. And so London would be like, this one, and this one. And you know the super fancy ones from like the Disney store? You're dropping some dough. Garage sales out here are crazy. They're like 50 cents to a dollar, maybe $2 per dress. And so the London has her little like allowance. She's like, I'll take four, please. it's adorable. So you have Elsa and you have Anna. I'm very purposeful on this. You have this 3D action figure, right? Action figure was cool for boys when we didn't want to call them dolls. You have the motion. She can move her head. You can play with her hair. It's 3D. We get this concept. We're in a 3D world, right? Our existence is 3D. We can move. We can breathe. We can see. Things happen. So you have Elsa, and then you have Anna. Anna, who's 2D, her existence is not beyond this page. A drawing will never be able to experience the 3D world, ever. It doesn't compute. It doesn't make sense. The best Elsa can possibly do right now is actually take a pen and write something on the page, right? London loves taking and making her dolls draw. She could draw words saying, hey, I love you, you're my sister, I want to share something. She could write on the page, and Anna, who's on this page, can receive it and get the 2D words, and it makes sense, right? But she can't get into the page unless she takes herself and creates herself as a 2D image, right? She can come in and actually become like Anna, moving from 3D to 2D, with the entire purpose to show who she is to her sister and say, hey, I am 3D, but I gave up part of myself to become 2D just to show you my love. That really is God. If you've ever wondered, well, what's God? Well, who's Jesus? This doesn't make sense to me. That's it. God exists so much beyond what we can think, scope, dream, imagine. And the only way for him to at first connect with us was to write it out. We call it the Bible. And the second, he goes, it's not, I need to be here. I need to show you who I am. So he stepped into the page to be like us, fully himself and fully like us at the same time. That's what we call Jesus. That's it. That's the entire explanation. The gospel broken down into Frozen. Would you close your eyes for a moment? Just close your eyes and just listen to me. I want to read a scripture and then I'm going to pray in a moment. See, there's a choice to be made. There's a choice to happen. There's something that the gospel urges for us to do. Just like in the movie, The Sword and the Stone, it's pointless unless he decides and chooses to pull the sword out, accepting everything that he has in store behind it. He receives the inheritance, the authority, the kingdom. But it's worthless without a choice. Oh, we can look at it all day and love on it all day, but unless we choose to pull it out, there's no authority transition, nothing. Listen to this verse. Romans 10:9 says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. There's no doubt. There's no confusion. It's simple. Do you choose to accept him and say, God, I get it. Anna, Elsa, makes sense. If I believe that you did that, you lived on the earth to die for me and be raised again, I get it. I get all the things, all the perks. I get accepted into the kingdom. I get the authority. I get to enter heaven and dwell with you for eternity. I just have to make that choice. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as overcoming the obstacles trying to prevent you from saying, Jesus is my Lord. I believe in him. Right here, right now, if you've never made that choice, if you've never done that, with your eyes closed, everyone else, no one's looking around. You say, today, I think I want to make that choice. I think I want to accept pulling out the sword and receiving what God has for me. If that's you and you're just saying, I'm making that choice right now, can you just raise your hand real quick? I just want to look around and see if anyone wants to make that choice today. Amen. Amen. And second, I really believe there's a second choice to be made today. Maybe you've made that choice before. You pulled out that sword, and it was really neat for a time. But eventually it got like weighty and heavy, and you just didn't want to carry it around anymore. So you put it up on your wall, or you put it in your closet, and it's just been collecting dust for like years. And today you feel urged to say, you know what, today's the day, I need to reconnect. I need to pull that sword back up again. I need to make that decision to fully follow God, fully follow Jesus, fully accept in my life once again. If that's you, would you raise your hand right now? If there's anyone that wants to accept that, say, today's the day. I'm walking in fullness. I'm doing it. we love you. We worship you. We're excited for what you have in store for us. We're excited for what you have in store for this community, our family, our friends, and our personal life. We love you, Lord. We love you, God. Would you remain in your seats right now? And let's just worship God for just a couple moments. Just remain in this and just process through what was spoken. Process through what God ministered to you about. Maybe one point stood out that you need to work on. Maybe one thing that God placed on your heart saying, that's me. During this worship time, would you just focus on that and just cement that in your heart? Jesus, continue to speak to our lives this week. I pray you give us opportunities of just quiet time, time to reflect on what was said today, time to reflect on who you are and how you will minister to our lives and how we can step into that full authority. Lord, speak to us this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Just a moment, Nakia, you're going to come up to give. Let us know some things that are happening in our church, but I just want to let you know, the entire purpose of our church, the reason why we exist right now in this season, is to do two things. That's it. It's our motto, our church motto, our church saying, make the change, be the change. Everyone say, make the change, be the change. The entirety of why we exist is simply that. Enable people to make the change, as said in John 3:16, for this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And the second part is we want to equip people to be the change. 1 John 3:16 says, we know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. That's it. That is the absolute purpose of our church. Make the change, be the change. If you're wondering why we're here, why we exist, and why we open our doors every Sunday, that's it.